broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here Friday Night Live. Getaway Friday, April the 14th, 2023, 14 and a half minutes past the hour. And we have got a great two-hour program for you tonight. And the first hour is jam-packed, to be sure. We're joined in the studio by the man whose intro you hear every morning on this station, bringing me up on the air, my dear pal, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. His friend and our new friend here at the station, Orlando Carter. You're going to hear more about his story here in a moment. Sean Kraft, of course, is with me, as he is each and every Friday night. And the Democratic candidate for mayor of the city of Marion, Glenn Coble, is here. So it's round robin here tonight, Ted.
There you go. And I just want you all to know that we do have the future support of our upcoming mayor. So get out there and vote for Glenn. He is going to help support us in terms of political clout, so
is
to
that
speak.
An official endorsement there, Ted.
That's right. That's right. You know, Glenn is running. That's right. And, you know, we need the support of the community and all aspects of this, but I have with me my friend Orlando Carter from Cincinnati, Ohio, and as you know, Glenn, he had a hell of a plight going on. For our listeners in our second hour, our first hour was good. I want to take some calls right now at 740-383-9944 if you have a question or two. And if you want to go ahead and throw cast your future ballot in for my main man, Glenn. So, Orlando, give us one. You got a microphone over there.
Orlando, what I want you to do for the audience, maybe just tuning in, in kind of a tin-type fashion, you know, 5 minutes or under, tell them the story, which is much more in depth than 5 minutes, but give them to them what happened to you.
Sure. I went to prison over a loan that PNC Bank had been originated, of which the Treasury Department later came along and said never happened. We have been trying to get this matter cleared up with the PNC Bank for years. Unfortunately, the bank is choosing to remain silent. They've made false filings in a court stating that the loan existed. However, they have yet to produce a single document showing that the loan ever existed. My company never received loan proceeds from PNC Bank, and to this date, almost 20 years later, having spent 15 of them in prison, that the bank has never sued me for one penny for a loan. And so we've been fighting this. We now have brought the community on board. There's a lot of growing interest in this matter because what happened to me based on PNC Bank executives' falsities could happen to you.
Wow, that was everything in a nutshell.
15 years in prison. When you look at your life, 15 years is a big portion. I mean, when you look back on that, how does that make you feel?
Like PNC needs a good swift kicking ass.
It makes me feel that when you know you're innocent, you don't have any regrets. When you know, even though I've lost precious time with my children, my family, my wife, all this precious time that went away that I can never get back, it has made me stronger for the fight for justice. And so we have systems out here now where banks are pouring tons of money into it, influencing the courts, influencing the politicians. All I got to say is they chose the wrong one this time.
There you go.
When it comes to race, what part did that play in this?
Well, having sat in prison for almost 7 years at the time, I learned through Freedom of Information Act request that I had been making that PNC Bank had made the statement, an executive PNC told the FBI, and I have that documented in an FBI 302 statement, that they made these loans to my company because I was black. Well, they lied. They never made a loan. So many people have asked me, was race a reason in this? I'll let you decide that. Why did PNC Bank make the statement that they made a loan to a black man when the loan never existed?
And what do you want? If you could have anything, if you could write the story of the rest of your life, what do you want?
I want my name cleared, first and foremost. My children deserve that. My family deserve that. I will clear my name. Secondly, I want the bank held accountable. What they've done to me, they could do to anyone.
Yeah.
And everybody won't have the education and background to fight these things. And so they plea out, and that's what our system is based upon, a fear of some being locked up, and then people plea. As I stated earlier, they chose the wrong one this time.
Ted, when you hear this story, I mean, it's just unbelievable. 15 years.
Personally speaking, I've been, like, as you mentioned, I've been incarcerated many times. But I've been in that situation. I probably would have pleaded. I can't tell you how many times I didn't take something, you know, to the box, so to speak. Because I was fearful that I'd be found and get more time than what the hell they were offering and all. So I can see that people do plead out the things. And in his situation, he's being falsely accused for a loan that that they can't show a bit of evidence, proof, or anything. You know, he lost all those years of birthdays, all those Christmases with his kids, all the years of them going from one grade to the next, man. I don't know how I would feel. Like I said, that would just bring hatred to me. Terrible. You know, Glenn, I'm so tickled to have you here because you are running for an office. I tried to run for the presidency and the gubernatorial races. Glenn, what is your summation of this play?
Well, I've got to ask a question, first of all. I listened for the first, I don't know, 40 minutes or so before I got here. What was the charge?
What they've accused me of is that PNC Bank originated a loan with my business.
That's okay.
And then...
That's not against the law.
The issue is they say that I failed to disclose that loan to my bank. My bank was Fifth Third Bank. I've never had a loan for $4 million with PNC Bank. And so the prosecutors have alleged that I lied to my company's auditor and then ultimately lied to Fifth Third Bank. And I was accused of bank fraud for failing to disclose a loan that even the Treasury Department is now saying never existed.
I can't imagine you'd be charged with something like that, except you're a poor black man.
Well, now, wait a second. This is actually where we want to go here. How much money were you worth when the charge came, and how much money are you worth now after this prison term?
My worth now has dropped substantially, but at the time, they had put an evaluation on my business because we had gone through, we were in the high-end technologies. Companies like Google, Facebook, Apple, they needed the technologies that we were developing. These transmission cables, fiber optics, these are the things that make your phones work. Without the technologies...
Silicon Valley here.
Without the technologies, Google, Facebook, and all these companies could not exist. So we were on the forefront of wireless capabilities almost 20 years ago when all this happened. So to answer your question, at the time they wrongfully closed my business, it was worth $150
million. $150
million
in today, what is the net worth, would you say, your net worth?
I would say it's substantially lower. I don't have that number exactly, but it's substantially lower.
Is it hard to get a job or work after being in prison for 15 years?
Well, thankfully, because of my education, I was a leader in pioneering in fiber optic technologies that I was highly sought after when I came home from prison, but Scott, that's not the case for everyone. I have friends now that have come home and they're struggling. They do not. They've been falsely accused. They've now home and they're struggling. That whole felon on that you're tracked with, it hampers your ability to provide for your family. We have been working with an organization called BFO on how we're going to correct some of these what we deem as collateral sanctions that keep us from moving forward in our communities.
A quick question, then we're going to go to Sean, then we're going to go back to Ted here. Just to clear up this whole money thing once and for all, now are you worth a million, half a million, under that, just for a ballpark?
Trying to borrow some money from them?
We're going to get you a hamburger before it's over with tonight.
Here's how I would answer that. I would tell you that the IRS says I owe substantial taxes.
So, okay.
Wow. But why that's significant is the U.S. Attorney's Office has said my business had a significant loss. So he's saying something completely opposite of what the IRS is saying. You go figure out, should I pay the U.S. Attorney, should I pay the IRS, or should the U.S. Attorney be right on his claim?
Is the IRS after you because of this?
Yes.
Okay. How much to the IRS?
Over $250,000.
My goodness. Okay, Sean, here's a question.
The question is, did you get a felonies at all for all this or no?
Oh, these were felonies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
740-383-9944. That's the number to call us in and give us your opinions, your thoughts, your support.
You want to get that sponged, right?
Oh, I want my name cleared. I'm telling you what I told the prosecutors years ago. To that point, your previous question, they offered me three pleas. The third plea was, Mr. Carter, if you would plead to anything was the terminology they used, then we would recommend to the court that you get probation.
And no felonies.
No jail time, no nothing, if I would plead to anything. Think about that, what the prosecutor is asking me to do. They don't have a crime. They're after a conviction. And I turned it down. I remember being in the federal courts chambers when she looked me in the eye and said, Mr. Carter, this is your last chance to plea to this probate. I said, it doesn't matter. I'm not accepting it. And let me just finish, Scott. To that point, my own trial attorneys, I now have affidavits from them under oath that they never challenged this information. And now they won't even return my call after having been paid very handsomely.
Going to prison, was that in a jury trial? How did that all happen?
It was a 17-day jury trial. And just let me state this. Jury trials are very uncommon in the federal system. It's very rare that someone would go to trial in a federal courtroom. I was one of the rare ones. But one of the things that went on during the jury voir dire, when they're trying to select a jury, one person stood up and said, if it's gotten this far, then he must be guilty.
Did your lawyer challenge that?
Yes. But by then, everybody else in the courtroom had already heard her opinion. So at that point, essentially, I was deemed guilty.
What a story. 740-383-9944. And this is a lot of information is what it is.
Yeah.
But my goodness, when you sift through it, what you end up finding out here is a man lost 15 years of his life and millions of dollars.
That's right.
Based upon
a lie.
A lot of frivolous stuff.
Let's just call it what it is. It's a lie. And I'm telling the prosecutor, I'm telling the U.S. attorney, you are standing on a lie. I'm telling the federal courts, you are standing on a lie. You should demand that PNC Bank bring you certified bank records, not something two executives got in the room and created. In fact, I have now found an internal bank email that stated they restructured transactions to make it appear that my business had these loans.
Let me ask you a quick question. Do you have in your in the faintest of thoughts in your mind right now, do you ever think about what is taking so long for
Ted? It's radio.
Oh, I'm sorry. What has taken so long thus far for anybody to really find anything interesting enough by calling banks out as it is, or as you say, everything is just a big lie? Why it's taken so long for someone to pull together and let's get this man straight? Do you have any thoughts as to why?
Well, I think the first thing they're going to have to admit is that they wrongfully prosecuted me. Yeah. That's the first thing.
Right.
PNC is going to have to admit that it was a part of a wrongful prosecution, because two bank executives, Vince Rinaldi and Ralph Martinez.
Call him out.
Yeah, it's the truth. If I'm lying, I ask them to sue me.
Yeah.
If I'm lying, then sue me. Bring some records and prove that what I'm saying is false.
Right.
But these gentlemen are the people that walked into a courtroom under oath, raised their hand that they would tell the truth, and lied
in a federal
by
courtroom.
Stating that my business had these loans when they never existed.
Forgive me for asking this, because this will come up. People will say, this is a man who's been in prison for 15 years. This is a man who's lost a great deal of money. This is a man who's very well-spoken, smart. You can hear that as you listen. This is a con. He's guilty. It's a con. What do you say to those people?
Bring me records that show these loans.
Yeah, that's all you have to
do. It's very simple. Contact Senator Sherrod Brown. Ask him for the records. Put PNC Bank under oath. He's the chairman of the Senate Banking Commission in Congress. Put the bank under oath. If they have records showing these loans, then I'm a con. If they don't, then what I'm telling you, and I have told the federal court, I've told the judge, I've told everyone, that these bankers created fake documents and gave them to the U.S. attorney. The U.S. attorney failed to validate this through the FBI. It's a lie. If I'm a con, then bring certified bank records, and you'll never hear from Orlando Carter again.
Good question for you. So when PNC did not sue you, because they haven't sued you yet, right?
No.
So who sent you to prison? Was that the judge?
Okay. Okay. So here's how it went down. There's this thing called a suspicious activity report. And so for all the listeners, anytime you deal with a bank and they think you've done something, they notify the FBI via what's called a suspicious activity report. In this case, PNC Bank created a fake suspicious activity report, sent it to the FBI. When the FBI contacted me, I told him, what you have are fake bank documents. My company doesn't have it. Instead of him going to verify these things, he threatened me with 300 years of prison. Wow. You know what I told him? I don't think people live that long. He says, Mr. Carter, you need to take this serious. I told him, if you have real bank records showing this, that's the moment I would take this serious. He then completed his investigation. Rather than contacting the bank, he went to the two bank executives who some people said he was friends with. He went to them and asked them, was the loan true? These are the people that created the fake documents. He then got them to come into a courtroom with the U.S. attorney and testify. And to this date, you can go look at any record, any trial transcript you want to look at, and you will not see a bank record showing this loan. They lied to the jury.
Why did this happen? Why to you? Why?
Scott, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that other than I think the bank executives made a mistake and they had to find a way to cover it up. Their internal auditors were on them. I want to be very clear to something too. Someone may be asking, Orlando, where did money go? And I want to be very clear. I can answer where the $4 million went. PNC Bank sent my company a purchase order to acquire $4 million worth of fiber optics equipment. I have a bill of lading that shows that we shipped that equipment to a PNC Bank warehouse. Okay? My attorneys never presented this during my trial. They never, ever challenged anything that we're saying.
Shoot the damn attorneys.
In fact, what happened was, when I turned down the plea of probation, even though I paid my attorneys very handsomely, I've never seen attorneys so mad. They had no desire to fight this case, and now I have an affidavit from them where they've admitted under oath that they never challenged the evidence.
Why?
Well, if he knew that answer.
I mean, if they go in an affidavit, under oath, that, hey, listen, we didn't try to fight this thing.
Well,
so they're willing to admit it
afterwards.
Afterwards, but why? I mean, what?
Because what I find in this system, and this is where I think our laws, they must change. People need a fair opportunity to fight their cases. The attorneys are more concerned about decorum and that sort of thing in a courtroom rather than getting to the truth. They're more concerned about looking out for each other than they are looking out for the people that hired them to do their job. I specifically told my attorneys very clearly, if PNC Bank is making this allegation prior to my trial, I want you to sue the bank. No, Mr. Carter, we're not going to do that.
Now, when you're paying your attorneys handsomely, as you say, whatever that amount was, don't they have an obligation to do that? Couldn't you have fired them when that went down? Said, listen, you're not listening to me.
During the meeting with the court, they made it very clear we made this suggestion to Mr. Carter regarding the probation, regarding the pleas and all this was going on. The judge had already said at this point, we're going to trial on Monday regardless.
So they were angry you didn't take the plea.
Oh, very angry.
But don't the attorneys make more money if it goes to trial? Aren't they billing by the hour?
Well, yeah, but at the same time, I'd already paid them. So if they can close my case out, then they can move on to the next, I'm going to call them victim.
Do you think that was a mistake?
Next!
Do you think paying them ahead of time was a mistake or choosing this particular attorney?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, anytime you hire an attorney and he's not fighting for you, that's a mistake.
How soon did you realize there was a problem there?
Let's put it this way. The moment my check cleared, my attorney called me from Greece. He had gone on vacation. He didn't share this with me prior to the check clearing.
That's fast. Well, Ted, come in here for a second.
Okay.
You know what's interesting to me as I hear this story? It's certainly a different money area, but you have had issues with finances and management throughout the years.
Yes, I have.
And I think about it because people do say, now none of yours ever ended with any incarceration, but people say, well, how does that happen? Well, you know, the Golden Voice, he's worth $1 million easy. There's no doubt about it.
I have been notified at the Recovery Treatment Center down in South Padre Island that my manager at the time they sent me a signature card, and he was cashing checks, $10,000, $5,000, $20,000, all kind of checks, and signing my name to them. So they sent me a signature card to sign, and ironically it was PNC Bank. So I didn't know what the hell was going on, but I left treatment quickly because I had no idea that once I was tucked away into the South Padre Island Treatment Center, that, you know, checks were going to be coming in by the dozens, and they were. So I left treatment, and I'm thinking, you know, as we're speaking here, so that's what happened to my money. My money was just literally taken by bad management and mistrusted people that came into my life. I know I can identify. I had an attorney that raped me for over $350,000. Brett Adams, let me repeat, Brett Adams, if you ever run across that attorney, kick his ass. No, I'm sorry. Those attorneys, they know how to look out for one another. I get bitter listening to you sometimes about people who misappropriate funds or, you know, take people's miscalculations as their own, you know. You said you got some things, some equipment through a acquisition order and all of that, and they got the equipment and all, and then they, one way or another, paperwork was made up and then discarded and all of that stuff. That shit pisses me off. Excuse me. I'm sorry. These people here in Marion are like, and you want us to vote for you?
Glenn? Now listen, anybody listening to this broadcast right now can tell
this. It just burns me up.
Well, the two gentlemen we are talking to here are not by any stretch of the imagination dumb, stupid, any of those. These are smart, intelligible men. But when we think about race and we think about what attorneys have done here, is there a case where attorneys, no matter how smart you are or how bright you are, they look at an African-American man and they say, I can make some money here. They're not bright. I can take it. Is there any of that involved?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can only speak for myself. They knew my background.
Oh, God.
They knew who I was. They knew the business. They knew the history. But even though, you know, there is that element of race actually raised by PNC, I don't think it's just to the black community. I think anybody that's not familiar with how legal systems work, how that work, and you're poor, you can be white, Mexican, it doesn't matter. They take advantage of you.
Is this a could happen to you, to our audience?
Absolutely. And you should not go to sleep tonight without thinking, am I next? Am I the next one up that this could happen to? And do I have the resources, the education to challenge this if it happens? It happens all the time. I sat in prison. I spent time in three different prisons, federal prisons. I mean, I've seen some of the worst of the worst, but I also saw some people in there. Having learned their case, I began to file motions for them to get them home. Some of them were successful. I learned the law. I spent every day in the law library. I had never, ever been in trouble before. And so at this point, going into this matter, I was ignorant. I didn't know any other way but to believe what my attorneys were saying.
Yeah. When the jury said guilty, tell me about that day.
The first thing I did is turn and look to my wife, and she was devastated. I knew that I was going to be okay. But the impact that it had on my family makes me emotional today. And what my family went through. And it's not just my family that's going through this. There are families out there that's listening to me that are still going through this matter. They need help. They've been wronged. I'm asking our politicians, our prosecutors, they need to know that justice works on both sides. If you realize you made a mistake, then just admit it. And I'm calling the prosecutors out right here. You either lying or part of it, or you made a mistake. If you got records showing these loans, file them in the court, and you'll never hear from me again.
I want to say one thing. Excuse me. Marion listeners, I know that there's probably a little reason as to why you're not calling us right now at 740-383-9944. You probably don't want to get involved because a lot of names have been called out, institutions have been called out, so you figure, well, this is Joe. I just want to say, you know, give me a call, man. Come on. I'm the man with the God-given golden voice. I've been a friend of the Marion community for a long time. I'm sure you've got some questions to ask. I'm sure you listen to our station, and I want to hear from you as well. You know, just because Mr. Carter has named out some people, that's on him. It won't reflect on anything that you have to say or anything else, okay? We've got our mayor-elect here, and we just want to hear from you. I love calling him the mayor-elect.
740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You can ask any question you want, and we've got about 18 minutes to do that. I think one of the things with the listeners right now, in my personal opinion, I don't want to speak for them, and again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. This is a very complex case. Yeah. When you hear it, it's very hard to imagine. Understand and imagine that this happened. And as we did earlier, and I'm going to ask it again here because I think we have new audience. For people who say, this is America, this doesn't happen in America, how can this be? We have the greatest judicial system in America. You're tried by a jury of your own peers. You get representation if you can't afford it. How does this happen?
Scott.
There you go. There you go.
I was one of them. I didn't believe this could happen. You know,
certainly not to you.
Well, yeah, but in general, I didn't think our system... legal system worked this way.
Ohio.
I was naive to it. Not only having never been in trouble, you know, we grow up away from the system. So we don't know when your attorneys are saying something incorrect. I had no idea what certain motions that they should have filed in advance. One of the things when this is over, I'm going to ask for our educational system to begin to teach our young people how to file a motion so you can defend yourself and have knowledge of this before you get into it. Having multiple degrees, many years of experience, I never, ever knew anything about how to file a motion. If I had known that now, if I had known then what I know now, I would have fought harder. But I'm relying upon highly paid attorneys. One of them was the president of the National Association of Defense Lawyers, highly paid. And instead of filing motions to fight, they're asking me to plea.
Here's a question from Sandra Lansdowne in Columbia, South Carolina, listening tonight.
Okay.
What was the worst moment?
Again, I think it was when I had to look back and see the pain in my wife's eyes.
15 Christmases, 15 Thanksgivings, 15 Easters.
15 birthdays.
15 birthdays. What's it like?
That's time I could never get back, but... I don't want to come across bitter tonight. I'm very thankful that my family is still intact. I'm a loved man. They believed in me. They knew me. My friends knew me. There are a lot of supporters out there that knew Orlando Carter before all this happened. In fact, I would receive letters inside of prison that this, we can't believe this happened to you. You know, how can we help? It just went on and on and on. But that was the hardest moment, Scott.
What's it like to go from a millionaire, successful businessman to an inmate within a matter of days, really?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the first experiences when I walked into the federal prison, it was shocking. You know, it was a new environment. But shortly after getting in there, I was approached. And several people said, "You don't look like the type of person that should be in here." I said, "Why is that?" And they said, "It's the way you carry yourself."
You know, Ted...
The only advice I got when I walked into prison was stay away from the gambling tables and don't mess with them boys. That's what I got, you know. And I got my towel and I went and took a shower, you know. Yeah. So don't, of course, reach for the soap and stuff like that.
I tried to make the most of my time while I was in there.
And they looked at me and said, "You don't look like you belong here."
The way you carry yourself. Yeah. How do you make light of it? Do you have to have a sense of humor, Orlando? I would think at some point, my goodness, 15 years.
Man. Scott, I think the best way to answer that is I have a determination. I have a determination. I know I'm innocent. I know I was been wrongly accused. And to the listeners out there that says this matter, you know, it seems complex and, you know... it's not complex.
You know, it's nothing to hear somebody say, and I'm not talking about Orlando's case, but it's nothing to hear somebody say, you know, "I'm innocent." You know, they're in jail with me, and they're talking about, I didn't do it. But to really know that you did not do it and lay your head in that bed at night, God, it would take God himself to come down and say,
to answer
you're
going to
be all right.
That I know I'm innocent. I had the opportunity to come home after spending 8 years in prison.
You know, here's the thing. Ted talked about God there. Do you have a faith?
Strong faith.
Okay. Do you ever say, "God, you put me in prison for 15 years. You took this time away from my family. My money's gone. I was falsely incarcerated. I can't get my name cleared to this moment." Do you ever spite God and say, "Why?"
Absolutely not.
Do you say, "Why?"
Absolutely not. I thank God for the experience. I'm very thankful. I mean, that's hard to believe that a man would go from being a millionaire to an inmate. But I'm thankful for the experience because it has made me more aware, much wiser. I can help more people now. There are people sitting in prison today that I'm reaching back to help that need help. Everybody makes a mistake. We all deserve second chances.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
But I'm not bitter because I know the best days are still ahead of me. I know the best is yet to come, and there's going to be change in this. And everybody knows that any movement over time, there was a struggle in the beginning. But at the end of the day, change came. Change is going to come in this situation. A lot of people are going to benefit and be blessed for this.
I was born by the river.
I just got a question for you. When you get loans, you have to have a signature. Right, you have to sign off, and
yes.
You know, I had plenty of loans in my life. Did they ever question the signature, or did you sign something that you didn't realize?
That's a good question. Not one single document has my signature on it. Not a single document. And I'm the only person with the authority that could bind my company to a loan. Not a single document.
Who benefited from this?
PNC Bank.
How did they benefit?
Because they covered up a crime.
What was the crime?
They made a mistake. They lied to the internal auditors. And then they had to cover it up. They benefited. Clark Schaefer Hackett sent a letter to Fifth Third Bank that cost 60 jobs. My auditing company benefited. They sent all this stuff over to the U.S. attorney, who chose to believe their word over mine rather than going to get some independent documents. I'm calling for an FBI investigation into that office. They shouldn't be allowed to prosecute another case.
And that's where Sherrod Brown's going
to
come in.
He has to come into this matter. People in the state of Ohio and throughout, they're at risk of being wrongfully prosecuted because those people in the U.S. Attorney's Office are not being held accountable.
That's right.
Do you believe that everybody is equal under the law? Boy, we've heard that phrase a lot recently in the news. Yeah. Everybody's equal under the law. Everybody gets treated the same.
They should be equal. It doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen. Glenn, you're hearing this for tonight. You're running for elected office. My goodness gracious. When you think about the no bitterness about 15 years in prison, not seeing your family, when you think about wanting to do good now, when you think about how it all went down, my goodness, you've heard the whole thing. What's it make you think?
Angry as all get out. I completely believe what he said. It takes me back to a week or two ago when two black men and a white woman were thrown out of their own political offices in Tennessee, and the only one that wasn't thrown out was the white woman, of course, and listening to those gentlemen speak with such eloquence, I don't know why your situation brought that to my head, but we have so many brilliant people that we keep punishing because of the amount of dollars they have in their pocket, or the color of their skin, or their racial, or their sexual orientation. It just drives me crazy to hear things like this. And I wish you the best of luck. And I think Sherrod Brown is an honorable and good man, and I hope he can help you out.
Well, we're calling on him to reach out. I'd like to get a meeting with him ASAP. I like for the U.S. attorney to be in the meeting.
And Mary Ellen Withrow.
I like for PNC Bank's chairman to be in the meeting. If people think I'm lying, then I want an open forum. I want it publicized so they can answer these questions. Did my business originate a loan with PNC Bank, $4 million and $8.8 million? Bring them in, Sherrod Brown. Bring me in. Bring the U.S. attorney in. Merrick Garland, if you're listening, I want you in there. President Biden, if you're listening, I want you in there.
Donald Trump, if you're listening, we want you in there.
This needs, it cannot be swept under the rug. Because what they did to me, they're doing to someone as we speak, and they are going to do it again unless they're held accountable.
One of the things that this situation seems to prove out is politics and money are more important than honesty and fairness. And I've been fighting the money in politics for a long time. I lost to a lady when I ran for state representative who accepted $7,000 or some amount of money from a gentleman who was just convicted of taking $60 million here in the state of Ohio. Money, unfortunately, does the talking, not honesty and sincerity. And that just drives me crazy. It happens everywhere. And it happens no matter what your color is or anything like that. It seems to happen to the people that are a little bit more disadvantaged. Now, it sounds, Glenn, to me like you were in good shape, but
Glenn, some of my best friends are white.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people that are sitting in prison, and I'll just share this story. There was a very, very, if you will, racial-driven individual that I met in prison from Hazard, Kentucky.
Hazard, Kentucky.
Hazard, Kentucky.
I didn't know there really was one.
There was. And I'll never forget the conversation. One day, I sat down with him to have lunch. And when it was over, he said, "Mr. Carter, you're the first black man I've ever had lunch with." He says, "I've been noticing you here on the compound. And you've opened my eyes to my racial ways." Mm-hmm. And that moment I began to say, "Lord, maybe that's why I was here. For that one instance, to impact a life. But that's what I'm about, is mm-hmm. positively impacting the community and impacting lives. I have a company that's ready to create jobs, but we can't do that until PNC Bank and Clark Schaefer admit that my business never had these loans."
Wow. To have this expunged off your record, what would that mean to you?
It will clear my name.
How important is that?
Very important. Let me tell you why. I was raised on a farm by my grandparents. I saw my grandmother walk to work every day to provide for us with my grandfather on a farm so that I could go to college. She walked to work every day so that I could go to college to be someone. Not necessarily saying you had to go to college to have a degree to be someone, but that was important to her as one of the first people in my family to go to college. So to see her sacrifice and all the sacrifices she made so that I could go to the next level, that's why this is important to me. This is bigger than Orlando Carter. This is about the community. This is about my grandparents. That's this right. is about my family. And whoever's listening, your family is up next.
That's right.
I'm asking you not to be quiet about this. Call Senator Brown and say, "We want you to hold a public hearing in which you ask PNC Bank executives, did you create these loans with this man's company?" This doesn't need to happen behind a closed door as the U.S. attorney wants to do it. No, I want it out in the public. Tell him, ask him, why would you claim you shredded records that the U.S. Treasury Department is saying never existed?
I've got a light little question in regards to that. Do you think, Orlando, that there possibly could have been not an imposter or someone that posed as you or represented your business when those acquisitions were sent out to PNC, that somebody within your own camp, so to speak, represented you or
no.
Was, no? Okay.
The bank even admitted that they, during the trial under oath, they didn't even know who I was.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. Could I have went in there?
So how can you make a loan to me and my business, and you don't even know who I am?
That's true.
Not a single signature on a single document.
Right.
Yet I sat in prison for all these years.
Right. Nobody forged your name.
What is one word to describe this whole situation?
Bullshit. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've never been asked that question.
One word.
I think it's, for those that's listening, it might be unbelievable.
Yeah, there you go.
Could this happen? Unbelievable.
You know, when people say, "I am innocent," what does innocent mean to you?
Having never been accused.
But you've been accused.
Wrongfully accused, let's be clear on that.
Right. So,
I won't stop this. I will not stop this until the federal court issues a declaration that this never happened. And by the way, I know how to file those motions now. I won't be asking an attorney.
There you go. Represent yourself.
Worst case scenario, if that day doesn't come, when you leave this earth, how will you feel?
I fought a good fight.
Ted, what do you think?
Well, he fought a good fight. I mean, and we're not finished fighting. I want to fight with him because I have been, you know, duped by attorneys. And mind you, I might mention the name again, Brett Adams. The guy has, you know, good credentials and all. You know, he's represented some fine people. Art Schleister, Yolanda Harris. What's the name? Maurice Claret. Those are reputable.
Well, this is quite a list you got going.
Yeah.
What a reputable list of people you got there.
No. He and some other people. George Karl of the Denver Nuggets, head coach for the Denver Nuggets. He's had some a nice little A-list of people, including yours truly. But see, he was a contract negotiator. This guy was serving as my attorney, my marital counselor, my landlord. He was wearing so many hats, it was pathetic. But I want to say in Orlando's case, I'm going to do as much as I can social media-wise and even get out there in the public and really start trying to, rally for this guy's innocence as well as any back money that's owed him,
Do you want money in this situation? Is money a factor, Orlando?
Well, I didn't go to...
Oh, here's a negotiator right here.
I didn't mean to say it like that there.
Tell us your opinion. Go ahead.
I want what I deserve.
What is that?
I stated earlier, at the time they wrongfully closed my business, it was worth $150 million. PNC Bank is aware of that.
Do you worry on this case of tax fraud at this point that you could end back up in prison?
Oh, no. My God.
No. I have no fear of prison. Mm. I don't fear prison. I don't fear our systems. I'm not saying that I want to be apart from my family, but when you're innocent, you don't operate in the spectrum of fear.
Do you have any fears?
I fear God.
Ted, got something?
Yes, absolutely. I fear God as well. But I'm thinking he's a regular Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's a regular Daniel in the lion's den. He's a regular Goliath. And what was the dude he fought?
David.
David and Goliath. He's all of that embodied into one.
You know, there's been a lot of people
that... You got to be a beast to keep on doing what he's doing.
There's been a lot of people in scriptures that have been quoted to me over and over, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good.
Mm.
There's been many of people that says, Orlando, you have a Joseph story. Redemption, it's coming. I have no doubt we're going to win this. I don't waver there. My faith is too strong. I know that I'm innocent. I know I've been falsely accused. And I know one day, this will be right. All I'm asking is for people in positions of power not to abuse it. And when senators refuse to call in the banks, they're abusing the power.
Finish this sentence. Orlando Carter is
a good person.
There's one scripture that comes to mind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not toward your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways.
Well, I'm sorry to cut you off, Ted. I didn't know we
you
were going to...
You cut me off in the middle of it.
But I know where you're going. That's a very popular scripture. I was raised on that.
Yes.
I didn't know we were going to have church, but I do want to share a testimony. And I know this was all about God's hand in this. Okay. When I went into the prison, we were having kind of an orientation, a meeting, and I looked across the room, and this gentleman kept looking at me. I've never been in prison. I'm saying, oh, this is not going to go the way I thought. I'm getting...
Hey!
After it was over...
Come here. No, I'm just teasing.
After the service was over, he walked up to me and handed me a piece of paper. And then he says, God told me to give you this. I opened the piece of paper. I was walking back to my cell. And it stated, I'm going to restore everything they took. This gentleman did not know me from anyone.
That's like Job.
But watch this.
Goodness.
But watch this. I learned 2 weeks later, he had gone home and died.
Mm. Oh, do you have the piece of paper?
I do.
My goodness gracious. Orlando Carter is always welcome on this program. Ted Williams is always welcome. What a story. Glenn. We're going to take a 15-minute break, and Sean and I are going to come back and wrap up the show tonight. But, Ted, thank you as always for coming.
Thank you for having us.
Glenn, my goodness, thank you for being here.
Vote for Glenn.
And Orlando, my I just can't even tell you what this story has done for me tonight in the end there with the piece of paper.
And I thought my Marion family was going to call us.
They'll call when you leave. We're done. Hey, Walt, go ahead.
I tell you what.
Time doesn't mean all that much to
right
you.
Right now, I want to take the first caller. Invite me to dinner, damn it.
Here we go. We're going to break back in 10 minutes. Stay tuned.
Or AdamTheComputerGuy.com. Telephone number 740-531-2326. Also available mobile notary services in Central and Mid-Ohio.
We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marion Moments. In 1886, three newspapers operated in the town, including the Marion Star, with Warren G. Harding, eventual President of the United States, serving as the paper's editor. In addition to the newspapers, 15 churches and 4 banks existed in the community.
This is Weasel Boy, and my favorite letters are WWGH.
This is Scott Spears looking down on the beautiful city of Marion from the WWGH News Chopper. If you would like to ever submit a news tip or an event to the WWGH News Department, email Scott at WWGH1071.com. And watch out for the chopper. And now a few words from Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
You know, Scott, when President Trump announced he was running for president, I called him an egotistical jerk.
Yes, I do remember that. Has your mind changed?
Well, no.
No?
See, you thought I meant that in a negative way. Rookie mistake.
WWGH Radio.